What's going on, my ancient alien antagonists? On this episode of the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, we talk some haunted eBay, Edgegrave Day reviews, Maxine, and my very special guest, which you may be hearing much, much more of in the near future. So let's dig up some skeletons and get dirty.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I am your host, Ghost Joe, and boy, do I have an awesome show tonight. And I really mean it this time. Like, I promise, like, this one probably should. And if it's not, then it's all this other person's fault. Anyway, this is one I've been waiting for, to be honest, for a really, really long time. I'm sorry it's been so long that I've put out an episode. My job sucks and I work a million hours a week. So last week, I had put out a call that I was looking for a co-host for the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. And after sifting through thousands of applications, resumes, and naked pictures, I think I found the right person for the job. And it's none other than my longtime friend of mine, Nat G. So say hello, Nat.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, so Nat and I have been friends since freaking high school. Thank you for the naked pictures, by the way. Anyway.
No problem. And let me tell you something. This wasn't so easy. I had to send in a whole resume of stuff. What a pain in the ass it is to get on this show.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, it's a long waiting list. It's a very, very long waiting list.
Seriously. I sent this resume out about 4 years ago.
Wow. Wow. That's even before the podcast was even around. That's insane.
I know.
So
that's how long ago we go back.
So Nat and I have been friends since freaking high school. And you could tell we bust each other's chops all the time, and that's probably what this is all going to be about. So it's going to be fun as hell.
He abuses me.
So we've been in bands together.
You understand.
That's enough, Nat. I mean,
all right, guys.
We've played in bands together for a long time. We've been to many concerts together and even went to some kind of ghost stuff together here and there. I mean, but Nat, like, let me ask you though, if you remember, right? Like, you were kind of a skeptic back, like a while back, right? Like, you never really believed in it too much, right?
Well, originally I never actually saw anything. Nothing actually happened until I actually started paying attention and noticing because of the stuff that you brought to my attention. Like, basically the trying to name of the house that we went to, the one that was on the corner of Arthur Kill Road.
Kreischer Mansion.
By the studio?
Yep.
That's it. That's actually what opened my eyes to everything. And things actually started happening that I noticed even around my own house.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they say, you know, like once you're kind of open to it, you know, things, you start noticing more things. Now, I don't know if that's, you know, somebody actually brought something to my attention because I had like, you know, I do this virtual reality thing and sometimes I do like little virtual reality talk show things where I talk about ghosts and stuff and I have people tell like their experiences. And so,
yeah, you told me about
it. Yeah, somebody had actually, I did one last night and somebody actually had mentioned like, well, did you ever think that maybe it's your own psyche that's making things move? You know, kind of like a telepathy type thing. Where like you're the one who's actually doing it and it's not ghosts, you know? I mean, I don't know. I mean, because I think there's too many personal things that happen where it's like, and there's too many things that happen where like it's around people or it's in certain haunted spots that are supposedly haunted. I don't know if that's complete. I think in some cases it might be true. Like I think a lot of times like the Ouija board, your mind is moving that, I think, a lot of times. I'm not saying all the time because I've had an experience of my own with that, but.
Really? That I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, to be honest with you, when the first thing that ever happened to me in this house that I'm in right now, which is my mother's house, things happened when we were doing our stuff. This was at the time of my ex, and I noticed certain things. Like I had a pendulum that actually went flying across my room while I was in the living room. And that literally scared the hell out of me. I ended up leaving the house and not going back in until other people came. But it's been, what, 20 years since I've been back in this house because I moved to Florida and all that. And something just happened literally a day or two ago while in the middle of not even thinking about it. Like I haven't thought anything ghost-wise or anything like that in a long time because we and you, you do your own thing, and I've been going through my own personal problems. And I was just doing my laundry, had everything done, put it into the dryer. The stuff was drying. And when I went to go check on it to see if it was finished, literally the dryer door was open and it was finished. My dryer opened on its own. It's never done that. It's not like one of those special dryers that do that when it finishes. It literally just opened its door. It didn't open in front of me, but I came in the garage and it literally was wide open.
That's crazy too, because dryers are like hard to open. You know, they have like a click, like a click. Yeah. So yes, yeah, exactly. No, that's definitely crazy.
That's wow. The first thing that's happened in a long time. And like I said, it's not like I'm. You know, it's not like I sit around this house in this apartment thinking about that type of stuff where I'm trying to do it with my mind or telepathically, right? Because I haven't been into this stuff now for a while. A lot of that stuff we used to do was over a good 20 something years ago.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so
not to freak you out, but I feel like I've had things happening to me while I was doing this podcast. I mean, I'm sure Nat's actually been a longtime listener of the show too, since freaking day one. And listened to every episode pretty much, I think, or every episode. And so I know he's heard like every single story 1,001 times, but I've had experiences
before he was even called the Warp Reality.
That's right. So I've had things where I'm like, getting my stuff set up for the demonologist, Carl Johnson, who was an awesome, awesome interview. And we'll have to do interviews together also with people because it's always That's very, cool. very cool. And I was setting up my stuff and, you know, a lot of times, like I've been doing interviews and something will fall in the back of me, like that'll be like on a shelf and something will fall and I'll be like, what the hell is that? And nothing is on the floor. Stuff like that has happened, but this time, I guess because he's such, like, he's a demonologist, you know, there was a knocking on my door that leads out to my backyard. And I do all this stuff at like 10 o'clock at night. And I knew, I'm like, you know what? I'm not answering that door. You know, I'm not seeing who's there because I know there's not going to be anybody standing there. So I'm just not going over there.
I don't know, why would you even think to answer
so,
that?
So, you know,
right. You're right, Mike.
So it's kind of like come to like a common place where I'm just like, yeah, of course that's going to happen now, you know, like, but I was more scared back in the day, I guess, you know, as we get older and stuff, we're just like, yeah, all right, stop doing that, you know, but it always interests me. It always has. It's always gonna, you know.
Of course.
So let me see now. Actually, a couple of the questions I was gonna ask you, you just answered. So that's awesome about your recent experiences and stuff. So that was great.
Yeah, that literally happened about a week or so ago before you even asked me to, you know, try coming on the show. Like I said, I was just doing my laundry. Switched the stuff over to the dryer, turned it on, 70 minutes. I think I was watching some TV. I noticed an hour or something went past already. So I was like, let me double check. I went in there and the thing was wide open. And I'm basically the only person in the house here. So that kind of freaked me out. But it really wasn't a scary thing, though. It's just like, I couldn't believe it actually happened because I haven't seen something in a long time.
Did you ever see it was this thing. It wasn't like a movie or anything. I think it was like a YouTube clip, but like back in the day, YouTube clip, like 15 years ago, YouTube clip. where it was called, yeah,
YouTube was always
where it was. I think it was it the Amityville Horror or the Poltergeist? And it was called, oh, it was the Amityville Horror, and it was like, it was called the Amityville Horror, A Minor Inconvenience. Did you ever see that? So that's no. Kind of how everything is nowadays to me. Like in that video, if anybody could find that, you got to watch that because it's hysterical. And like, it'll be like somebody will say, "Where are my keys? I put my keys right here. I know I put them here just a second ago. Where are they?" And then somebody's like, "Oh, they're over there on the floor." And he's like, "Oh, well, that's kind of inconvenient." And then like the next thing goes on, like, wow, this is really, really horrible, but it was really funny. But that's kind of what happens to me now. Like, really, really, you know, I could put a flat book on a table and somehow it rolls off the table. Like, how does a flat book roll off a freaking table? That's just the kind of stuff that happens, you know. But, so I have a list of paranormal genres. I actually did this to my very, very first co-host way back when. And it's just a bunch of paranormal genres. And, you know, you just let me know like what you know, so the audience could pretty much tell like where you're at with certain things. It's cool to be skeptic. I'm totally cool with being skeptic on things because I'm skeptic on some of this stuff too. But, you know, just let me know. And if you have any kind of experiences or, you know, whatever, you know, dealing with any of this stuff, you know, shoot it out. So, yeah, go ahead.
Before you go to that, 1 second. I finally remember a place. I don't remember the name of it, but I saw this on YouTube where it was, I guess it was a cemetery where a security guard was going through and he heard the screaming. At the top of his lungs, it was all over the place. It was popping up on my phone like it was tomorrow. I think he goes into like a church and a cemetery or something like that, and there's a scream that's so loud and unbelievable. I would love to go in there and do it, like an investigation there. I need to get the name of it, and when I do, I'll let all you guys know.
Yeah, I remember that story. Yeah, it wasn't too long ago, right? Maybe a year or two, something like that.
I think that. And I think they called the cops, and then the two cops came, and they heard a scream.
You see them running like crazy out of
screen. Yes, that's the one.
Yeah. I saw that.
I would love to do an investigation in that area.
And therein lies, now I know cops are a different thing, right? And therein lies the reasoning why I don't really watch a lot of these paranormal investigation shows anymore. I used to love the original Ghost Hunters, like when it first came out, the first like 2-3 seasons. I thought it was excellent. But for me, a lot of them, it's like, why, if you're a paranormal investigator, or even in that case, you're a cop and you hear a scream, why the hell are you running away from it? Your job is to run towards it to see what the hell is going on.
There's a difference.
You know?
There's a difference. If you actually watch that video, you know that there's something weird happening when you hear that. But this wasn't, like I said, the original person was just an overnight security guard. He you know, the scream that you heard was like blood hurtling scream. I wouldn't have been gone near there if I heard that. But now I know about it, I'll be a little more prepared and I'll give it a shot. And who knows if that was, you know, real or not, but just to check it out, that would be cool.
Yeah, I mean that's my thing too, man. Like, I mean, I feel like we're at a point now where not everything is going to be faked. Everybody is so quick now to be like, "Oh, that's fake. Oh, that's CGI. Oh, that's fake." That's not everything is fake. There's some truth behind some stuff. And I feel like nobody's getting famous from showing a ghost picture anymore. So, what's really your motivation if you show a faked picture?
Well, you're right. And for me, the reason why I actually believed it is because of how his reaction to it. His reaction was literally, he looked generally scared. Right. It didn't look like it was acting.
Right.
It looked like that dude, he shit his pants. He ran, and I think I saw the piss following him.
Well, I mean, also, if it was a security guard, I mean, yeah, I guess if you're a security guard and you hear a scream, I'm not running towards that. We ain't getting paid that much.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so I was like, us security guards don't get paid much.
No. All right, so the first one was, so the first one was like ghosts and hauntings, and obviously we kind of know your stance on that. So what about like aliens and UFOs? What do you think of that stuff?
Oh, I definitely believe that. I so 100% believe that. We are definitely not the only people that are around in planets. And I have plenty of friends who've told me their stories, and I believe them.
Do you, like...
If you remember a certain person that used to work with us who told me stories...
Really?
...that his entire family saw. Yeah, I'm not going to start naming names.
Yeah, you don't have to.
I don't know how that works with podcasts.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to name any names.
But I'll tell you about it next time when we're off air. And if you feel like editing in, by all means.
All right, cool.
But there was a certain person that worked with us that him and his entire family saw something and literally followed it for a little while with their car.
That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I believe in it too. You know, I believe in aliens, UFOs. I've never seen anything. And kind of, like at this point in my life, I really want to. Like, I don't know if I want to see like an alien coming into my house, you know, but like if I saw a UFO, I think that I would think that's pretty cool. You know, and like I live upstate and I work at night. So whenever I'm driving to work, I'm always looking in the sky to see if like I see anything. Like so I could be the first person to videotape a UFO for it to not be blurry. You know. But I definitely believe in aliens and UFOs.
I've seen videos that are not.
No, there's some. But what about?
But I like watching the.
What about the next thing we're going to talk about? Have you ever seen any unblurry pictures of the blurry man and cryptids? Do you believe in cryptids like Bigfoot and the Dog Man and the Jersey Devil and stuff like that?
Okay, I kind of stand with you. I want to believe it. I've never actually seen anything when it comes to cryptids, but I've seen plenty of videos and shows on the Bigfoot and all that. And sometimes they look pretty substantial, but I don't know if it's just like a bear. Right. I mean, no one's ever so close up to one that you could actually see it, but it could just be, you know, bears. It could be anything else. Shit, it could be a fucking caveman for all we damn know.
I mean, and there have been cases where like bears have walked on their hind feet and stuff. Like, you know, so it's not even that wouldn't even be like a, you know, such an outrageous thing to think about either, you know.
Yeah. And at a long distance, you could make that mistake. Right. I've never seen a picture so close up that you could tell what it is 100%. Yeah.
I mean,
and as for things like the Jersey Devil, believe me, I would love to see something like that. I have not yet, but I'm with you with that. It's something I would love to believe, but I haven't seen enough evidence to say that I 100% believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's super interesting. You know, Bigfoot, I feel like Bigfoot's probably, of course, like the one that pretty much everybody would believe in, you know, because there's just so many sightings of him. But you also got to think about it from a different point too, where it's like nobody's ever found a dead Bigfoot anywhere, you know. But the forests and the woods are quite dense, so you never know, you know. Like, but you know, nobody's ever found a dead Bigfoot. But I do. If I would believe in any of them, I guess it would be Bigfoot. But yeah, I wish I could go on like some kind of cryptid expedition and try and see if I could find that stuff. I don't like it.
That would be pretty cool.
Bit by bugs, so I don't know if you know going through the woods.
Oh God, spray your stuff with that crap.
On to the next one. What about mediums and psychics?
Yes, I believe them. Yeah.
Have you ever been to any or?
No, but I know of people that have been to them. And actually, the one that particularly that you know, the Long Island one, what's the name? Yeah. I've actually have I guess, a close relative that's went to speak to him and said that it's not that she was always on point, but she had times that she was. So I, once again, I've never been to them. I want to believe in it. I kind of do, because I believe that people have that psychic ability. I always have.
Yeah, I believe that there are people that have it. I believe there's more charlatans out there than there are real ones, I think.
Oh yeah, 100%. There are definitely people who try to make a buck.
But you wonder, like, what's your stance on that? Because I'm a little bit, even though, all right, so some of them, yeah, like you said, some of them are just trying to make a buck on it. But at the same time, they still could be helping people in a way, you know, because if you go to them and they could still try and give you some kind of closure, even though they might be full of crap, you know, they still might give somebody some closure, you know. So it's like,
I see what you mean by that,
you know. Are they con artists? Yeah, well, but
there's a term for that, isn't that there's a term for that when it's kind of like what people say about the exorcisms, how even if you don't believe in the actual demon and all that, that it's like the suggestion almost that if you believe in your head that you actually are, even if you're not, when you have an exorcism done, then your head will actually believe that it actually did it and it cured you. I forgot there's an actual term for that. Isn't that like the same idea?
Yeah, I would think so. And actually that's an excellent segue, sir, because next we're going to talk about demons and demonic possessions and stuff. Do you believe in that?
Yes, because of certain videos I've seen and listened to. And once again, I believe in it because I'm hoping that it's true. And from what I've seen and heard, I don't know how a human could actually pull that off without, you know, without the help of some electronic equipment. But I mean, like, yeah. So I believe that TV has ruined the actual idea with the turning heads and all that crap. I don't believe that it actually goes through that, but I do believe that the demon, I mean, I'm also kind of a religious person, and I've read stories that the priests written. I mean, there was a Father Gabriel Amoth. He has novels out and books out. He passed away recently. He was actually an exorcist for the Vatican City. He actually worked for the Pope. And I've reading these books. I mean, as far as there are some sick things that he's seen. And I, like I said, it's something I would love to see. I've never been possessed. I don't think you have either. So, and I've never actually witnessed something like that, but I have heard videos. I've seen videos, heard recordings, and some of those things really freak me out. And for me, it's hard to believe that some human, some child or some old person would go out of their way to actually make themselves do that. Make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. There was, I can't think of her name right now, but she was a German girl that I had played audio of. Yeah, Annalise, exactly. Okay. And I had played the audio of, and honestly, bro, like, I played it on the podcast and it got me so creeped out, I deleted it as soon as I put it on the podcast. I deleted it. I said, I don't want this. And I'm not a religious person, but I'm like, I refuse to have this on my computer.
That was the,
hell no.
That was the, like, female that no had way. The movie made for her, Emily Rose.
Right, Emily Rose, yes.
That was based on her. That movie was based on her.
Yeah.
And yeah, those recordings sound really, really freaky.
I mean, yeah.
And for...
Yeah, like you said, I don't think you can't fake that. No. Like, that's just terrifying.
Absolutely not.
It's terrifying.
I mean, do I believe that there's some, you know, BS stuff when it comes to that? Yeah, I mean, the stuff you see on TV, like when they showed it on ABC or something like that.
What do you think of Ouija boards?
I've never used one, so I'm not really sure. I would attempt it, something that I would like to do one day in, you know, the perfect atmosphere. I'm the stupid idiot would bring it to a cemetery and do it. But I've never actually have. So I can't, I mean, and I really don't know anyone who has done it. So I don't even have stories to wrap myself around. I mean, I enjoyed the movies, but I've never actually seen a Ouija board in front of my face. I've never had one. I don't know anyone that had one. So it's another thing that I would like to believe.
I mean, that's, you know, my buddy that I used to have on the show all the time, Chris Whitehouse. That's basically all him and his paranormal crew do, is they go to haunted areas and they use the Ouija board for communication. They do it very super respectfully and by the book, as far as, you know, what they say by the book should be, you know, and they've had very, very good. They've had a lot of success with it. You know, what they seem to think is that when they go to a haunted place and they use it, and like sometimes it'll say like, oh, I'm Satan or I'm the devil. And what they say is that it always turns out to be just a spirit that's trying to like scare them to chase them off. Because eventually the spirit's like, no, you know, I'm this person. And it turns out to check out with, you know, the haunted location that they're at. You know, but they've had, and he has a YouTube, YouTube channel also. I always have that. I always have all of his links in my show notes because, you know, he's a good dude and he helped me out a lot and still helps me out a lot from time to time with advice and stuff. So yeah. Chris Whitehouse. Yeah.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard him on your podcast before.
Just, you know, he has a million things going on now. Otherwise, he'd probably still be doing, you know, helping me out with podcast segments and stuff. But yeah, so definitely, you know, if anybody's listening, you know, check him out because he's awesome. So let me real quick tell you my Ouija board story. I don't know if everybody wants to hear it again, all right. But I'm going to say it again because it's my podcast and I could do whatever the hell I want. So basically what happened with me was, this was going back probably to 2001, 2002, maybe. And I was hanging out with this girl, very close friend. My lights just started flickering. See, that's what I'm talking about. I was hanging out with this girl that was a very good friend of mine, and we were into like pretty much everything was the same, you know, same music, same interests and all this stuff. And of course, you know, the first time you hang out with somebody, you're going to play the Ouija board. Why the hell not? Right. You know, what else are you going to do?
Naturally.
So we were in my car.
Oh, believe me. I can think of a couple of things.
We were in my car. It was like a nice, like probably summer night or something. And I had my window rolled down. Yes, it was rolled down because this is back then. And
I was still in that car.
Yeah.
So I remember that car.
As we were doing the Ouija board, you know, we seemed to have gotten something. And as we were going on the Ouija board, I kept hearing like shuffling right outside my window of my car door, as if somebody's like walking next to my car, like pacing next to my car. There was nobody there. You know, I mean, we were in a spot like secluded from everything, you know? So then, you know, I took her home, and as I'm driving home, I hear whispering in my car as if somebody's sitting in my back seat and leaning over and whispering into my right ear. And that scared the hell out of me, man. I mean, and that was, and I've had a million experiences before that. But that scared the hell out of me because number one, I'm by myself. Number two, I'm in my car. You know, where are you going to go? You know, so I drove home, and even though I didn't know if this really works, a lot of people say it does. But when I got home, right before I entered my house, I said, listen, if anything's following me, Do not follow me in my house. I don't want you here. Go back to where you came from. And then I went in my house. So yeah, that was my Ouija board story. And I never did it ever again after that because I'm like, hell no, I'm not.
Did it work?
What's that? Oh, I don't know. I mean,
nothing came
I always have paranormal experiences. So I don't know if that was from that or just because honestly, I feel like at this point, I feel like I don't know if anything's following me, but I feel like I attract certain elements, you know, especially doing this podcast. I feel like some things, you know, are attracted to when I'm doing this stuff. That's why the lights just flickered in my house. That's why, you know, whatever. But yeah, that's I've never did the Ouija board ever again, and I don't plan to, unless maybe if Chris Whitehouse ever comes around here and I'm with him, I trust him with it. But anybody else, probably not. You know, what do you think of curses? You know, like the evil eye, like cursing somebody. You know, like drag me to hell curses. You know.
I don't know. That I was never really too much of a believer on. I can't see me just saying, you know, saying a couple of words and that's it. You're haunted forever by something. You start getting bad luck or whatever the hell it is. I'm not sure if I really believe that.
I feel like that's kind of what we were talking about before, you know, where like your mind starts playing tricks on you, you know.
That's an old timer's fable. Like the old timer people do that. Grandparents do that. They believe that type of stuff.
Right. Like somebody said they put a curse on you. Then like 3 months later, you get into a car accident. You're like, oh, it was from the curse.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like,
I mean, someone says something that now anytime anything bad happens, it's because of that.
Right.
I don't know. About
right. That. Exactly. Yeah. And what about one of our favorite things from one of our favorite movies? What about time travel?
That's a good question.
Do you believe that somebody at least knows how to do it at this point? Or if there's somebody in the know that might have figured it out?
No.
No?
To be honest with you, I really never looked into it. So I've never read into it. I don't know, you know, if there's any studies on it or if there are people who claim to have done it. Time traveling, you know, as far as that, I know Back to the Future and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they say that Nikola Tesla was working on the theory of time travel before he passed away.
Working on? Did he ever claim that he did it?
I don't think so.
Exactly.
You know, but it's, yeah. So, I mean, I think it's obviously it's probably everybody's thing that they would, you know, love to go back to the past.
Oh, of course.
Change certain things, you know.
Would I love for that to be real? Of course. I could change a lot of things I've done in my life.
Absolutely. I think we all could. Now, what about alternate dimensions, different realms, different, you know, like interdimensional beings or just, you know, different realities?
I kind of sit that with the UFO type of stuff.
Okay.
Kind of like in that, I mean, just I don't believe that there is a plane or anything like that could travel from one universe to another. So I do believe that they have maybe ways that they go through with doing, you know, dimensional doors and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And what do you think about deja vu?
I've had it a few times. It's possible. There have been plenty of times where I felt like I've done something before. But that could be done by anything, though. Even a certain smell. And you're like, oh my God, I believe I've done this before. I've smelt this smell before. Isn't that basically what deja vu is?
Yeah, I mean, I've had like, I guess you would call it more of premonition, but I've had like dreams where I'm like, wait, I remember this in my dream. Like I dreamt about this 3 years ago.
That's not deja vu.
Now this is happening. But it's like a premonition, I guess.
Yeah.
But
There you go. Yeah. That's one of the questions you asked me earlier.
Ah.
Right?
All right.
So I do. There have been times where I've actually felt like, wow, I feel like I've done this before. But I don't find that to be supernatural or anything like that. It's just a natural thing. I think it's a natural reaction to something that you've done, maybe something close to what you've done and just reminds you of it. Right. A smell that you smelled and go, oh my God, I remember this.
Yeah. Yep. And, all right. And the last one. And what do you think about deja vu?
Did we just say that? Smartass.
Oh, God. Sorry. Listen. You know, that had to be done. Had to be done.
I was warned about this.
You were. You absolutely were warned about it.
Very nice.
But that's basically all of my little things. So, you know, it was just basically to see what people might think about your stance on certain things. You know, I think it's pretty cool to, and especially, you know, in my case too, some people, you know, because I don't say all this stuff in a row either sometimes. So it's I think it's cool to see people's stances on everything.
As of right now, a lot of things like ghost wise, I've seen things, so I'm more of a believer. Same thing. I've never seen it, but when it comes to like demonology and exorcisms, I believe in it because first, I am partly religious. I do believe in the work of God and all that stuff. I do believe it has the power to actually stop demons. I do believe that there are demons and angels. I do believe that priests and people who study that field can help people out. As for the stuff like the Loch Ness Monster, aliens and stuff like that, it's not something I've actually seen. So it's something that I would love to believe and would like to study more into.
Right. Yeah, me too, actually. All right. So that's that. So let's get on. All right. How about I just picked this up right before we started talking. I read it on Reddit that you know, and I guess I'll read it and you know, we'll talk about it, you know, see what we think about it. I didn't even read this whole thing yet, so you know, I'm sorry if I read poorly, bad grammar, because I didn't really proofread or anything. But
oh, believe me, I would have done a less worse than you will.
So this one's entitled, I had a terrifying experience last night. And it's, I believe it was like something, it was from a Reddit from like 4 years ago. And it goes like this. I have a house that was built in 1966 in Florida. And my husband collects Victorian antiques, things like oil lamps, clocks, paintings, etc. I have experiences where I think someone is walking around me all the time. I've had many, many times when I'm reading, I think my daughter is walking up to me, and when I look up, no one is there. Last night, I was lying in my bed trying to go to sleep, and I kept getting the sensation that someone was walking around my room. I kept hearing footsteps and getting a feeling someone was standing right beside my bed. I covered my head with the blanket and started to pray to myself, and all of a sudden, I felt something sit on my bed, the way the mattress moved. I actually started to have a panic attack. I peeked out of my blanket and I saw a man with a blue aura around him. He was wearing a ragged suit and looked similar to how men looked during the Depression. I was horrified. He disappeared and I hauled out of the room. I went into my living room and turned every light in the room and the Victorian lamps on and sat in the room with the television on and finally fell asleep. I have a brother that died of a drug overdose in March, and I had a vivid dream that I was attending his autopsy. He had his eyes open, and he was looking right at me while I performed. Now, I've had my house saged many times, and one of the times they walked over to my side of the bed and went to the corner and actually heard something growl. Wow. We all heard it. There's a painting of a little girl holding a basket right beside my bed, and me, my daughter, and her boyfriend all have seen the expression on her face change. We have tried to photograph it, and it will change back. I'm sorry I'm rambling on, but I just don't know what else to do. I actually went to that Died in a House website and looked up my address, and it found no deaths in my house. There's a website where you could see if somebody died in your house. I'm going to have to check that out. I'm getting to the point that I don't want to sleep in my bedroom. I'm a retired police officer. Wow. So I don't get scared easily. And this experience is petrifying to me. Does anyone have any suggestions about what it could be and what I should do? Thanks for reading. That freaking sounds terrifying, man. Like,
yeah, actually that sounds believable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that doesn't sound like somebody that just made that up. That's crazy. That's crazy. The growling, all that stuff, that's scary, man.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't feel so happy living in that house anymore.
Was it you that had said that you had seen like shadow figures?
Yes.
That was you, right? You had said you had seen shadow figures, but I don't think
from my room.
Really?
I had the door open. I was sitting on my bed. My bed faced the door. I looked over to my side and thought I saw somebody go down my stairs while I was the only person there. But I couldn't make out anything, and all you saw was just black.
Wow.
And that happened at least twice. Yeah, so like I said, a few things happened in this house.
Those shadow figures have probably been around me, but I'm not very observant. I'm like the worst correction officer ever. I'm not a very observant person. like I think that's why a lot of the paranormal stuff that's happened to me, it's like remotes flying across the room, because they're like, listen, we got to do something crazy for this guy, otherwise he's not even going to notice. So we're going to have to like they would have to be like, you know, somebody coming up to me and saying, hey, listen, I'm a ghost, you know, like oh. So I'm sure a lot of things have happened, and they're just like, come on, bro, like, when are you gonna notice me type stuff. But
so what do? They throw a remote.
That's right they throw remotes, so they'll whisper in my car. I don't know what kind of sweet nothings they were whispering in my ear with the Ouija board, but you know, hopefully it was something nice.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I did see the shadow figure. It happened two times, but never again. I think that was first. The pendulum came afterwards, and now just recently with the dryer.
Wow.
Good evening. You are entering a dimension. A dimension where up is down, good is evil, and day is night. You've just made a wrong turn into the right headspace.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm going to be spending the next few segments talking about probably one of the more interesting figures that you can find in history, a gentleman by the name of Edgar Cayce. I'm sure you guys have probably heard of him, often referred to as the Sleeping Prophet. So in this first segment, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background information about him, when he was born, that kind of stuff, where he was born, and how he kind of got involved in all of these different things. And then over the next few segments, I'll get involved with some of the different associations that he was involved with, and then also get into some of the predictions that he had made. One of the things that I've seen it on TV, I've heard it in a couple different podcasts and on different specials, where they talk about people who supposedly are clairvoyant, can tell the future, and how you can talk about predictability, and they're never ever going to get anything 100%. But if they can reach a threshold of roughly about 80% of what it is that they predict comes true, then you can say that this person is definitely reliable, has a lot of credibility, and is kind of on that line of, yeah, there's probably something just a little bit more to what it is that they're doing. So let me continue. He was born March 18th, 1877. And according to what it was that I was able to look up, he was born in Kentucky. Some sites will tell you that he was born in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. He will die January 3rd, 1945, at the age of 67, and that will occur in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Now, as far as his early life is concerned, there are some things that they do talk about, but there's a lot of other information that's left out of this. So I'm just going to make just a quick sort of assumption here that he's like most people of that time frame. We'll call them hardworking, middle-class sort of people. Once they start talking about him, he's somewhere around the age of about 9 or 10 years old. And one of the things that they had said was his parents had brought him to Mass. I believe he was part of the Protestant groups, and he was about 8 or 9 years old. He heard what the, what the pastor had to say, and became very interested in the Bible. And then, according to what it says, somewhere between the age of 10 and the age of 12, he'll go on to read the Bible front to back completely, somewhere around a dozen or so times in that year or two after going to the church that time. And then there's another thing that they talk about where he started to see things, experience things. And one of the things that he had experienced was seeing a woman, which he described as having wings. Now, again, this is just kind of me throwing my opinion in here. The way he sort of describes this woman kind of makes it sound almost like it's sort of like an angel. But again, that's my interpretation of it. So you guys, I would say, take a look at it and make your own. Now, according to what he said during this particular incident, the woman had asked him what it is that he wanted to do with his life. And he said, all I want to do is help others. Sometime after that, he would have this woman return. Now, according to what it said, his father, I guess, was not very happy with his ability to retain information. Some of this, I believe, dealt with not being able to spell words properly, that sort of thing. And apparently his dad struck him, knocked him out of his chair, all this other stuff. Shortly afterward, the woman appears to him. When she appears to him, she explains to him that they, nothing is explained. There is no detail here about who they are, could help him. Now, what winds up happening is he develops the solution. And the solution was he would just put his head down on the book that he was trying to absorb the information from, and he would fall asleep. Now, at some point, he was able to retain the information. It's not explained how. Well, actually, it kind of is. When he was questioned about it by his father and by somebody else, his response was that he just saw images of the pages in the book. As a teacher, we kind of joke with our students about this stuff, and we call this osmosis, learning by osmosis. When you put your head down on something and goes from low volume or from high volume to low volume. he's very similar to most people of this time frame. He was only educated up until about the eighth grade. And again, this is very typical of this time frame. My grandfather, he had an education up until eighth grade. And when he was in eighth grade, he actually had to leave eighth grade, got a job with the O&R Railroad shoveling coal so that he could help his family afford their bills and pay for food and do that kind of stuff. So this is a similar type of situation that we have here with Edgar Cayce, that he had to leave school so that he could get a job. So then you're going to have this time period where he kind of bounces back and forth, and he's moving from one place to another place so that he can try and find a job. At some point, he and his father start working together selling insurance. And this is from about 1897 to 1900, somewhere in that time frame. Over that time frame, he starts to lose his voice, and nobody could really explain what caused it. Occasionally, he would get it back, but shortly afterward, it would disappear again. So rather than continue on selling insurance, he actually gets a job as a photographer. And shortly after that, he will regain his voice. Excuse me. In 1901, he will wind up at this, I want to say it was a fair or something along those lines. And the gentleman was a traveling performer, and he was a hypnotist, and he loved putting people under and doing all the different tricks that were normally say. And in this case, he actually did it because he wanted to see if he could help Edgar overcome whatever it was that was causing his voice to disappear in an attempt to try and bring it back. One of the weird things was, while they were doing the hypnotism, while he was in a trance, he could actually speak plainly. He got his voice back and speak very clearly. But as soon as he came out of a trance, bang, it was gone. He lost it again. Now, he does some sessions with this first person, and then he winds up doing some more sessions with another gentleman by the name of Al Lane. They will wind up working together. And Al will do a series of different things to try and help him out, a number of different sessions, trying to give him post-hypnotic suggestions, all those different things. For the most part, it doesn't necessarily work. Al Lane also had some ailments, and it doesn't mention what those things are. But while Edgar Casey was in a trance, he had said something to Edgar. Edgar had prescribed some things. Again, does not mention what it was he had prescribed, but according to Mr. Lane, whatever it was that was suggested by Edgar Casey actually worked, and it helped him. So then they wind up doing some things where he winds up putting Edgar under, and while he has him under, he will actually talk to him about, well, what is it that I can do to help you? So, it's one of those weird things where he starts, even though he's not a doctor. He just kind of claims that this information would eventually come to him. And what happens is he winds up telling Lane, oh, here it is. This is how you're supposed to do it. And again, when he would do these things, he had no recollection of it when he was brought out of his trance. So I'm pushing on 8:45 here. So what I'm going to do is in my next segment, I'll get a little bit deeper into how he went into these trances, the way that he went about it, and the things that he was able to do when he was in those trances. Some of the stuff is really, really fascinating. The fact that he was able to come up with some of these different cures, like I'll throw this one in here real quick. Somewhere around 1911, his wife Gertrude had fallen ill with tuberculosis. When the doctors had pretty much given up on her, he actually put himself to the test, and he wind up prescribing a course of treatments. Now, here's the problem. It never mentions what it was that he did or he suggested, but eventually it does cure her. So I'll go into a few more of those things in the next segment on Edgar Casey. Thanks a lot. Joe, back to you.
Thanks a lot, John, for that awesome segment. I've always been interested in Edgar Casey ever since I saw that special Ancient Prophecies when I was a kid. I was probably like 10 years old and it was on regular TV. You could actually find the whole special on YouTube, which is pretty funny. I think there might have been more parts to it because the one that I just recently saw not long ago didn't have the cheesy, voices and stuff like that that it did when I remember watching it years ago. But it does have a lot of great information on Edgar Casey, Nostradamus, and a few other prophet people that it's very, very interesting, whether you believe it or not. But Edgar Casey has always interested me. So thank you very much, John. And please look forward to part two of that. And John has some other stuff coming up as well. And yeah, so on with the show. We're going to listen to some Edgrave Dave talking about his horrible review of the movie Maxine. I don't know if that's how you, it's M-A-X-X-X. It better not be a porno, bro.
Oh, my God.
I didn't listen to it. I didn't listen to it. And I should, because knowing Dave, who knows anymore? You know?
Yeah.
So I mean.
Surprise. Instead of horror. It's a horror slash porno.
Horrible reviews with Edgrave Dave. So, okay, lights, camera, spoiler alert. It's that time. I'm going to issue an Edge grave warning, spoiler alert. So let's take our first take with some stone cold facts. This film was directed by T. West, as the others were as well. Written solely this time around by T. West, the last time in Pearl, Mia Goth did help to co-write that film, but not only does she sure as hell star in it, she's one of the producers as well, along with Jacob Kafka, T. West, Kevin Turin, Harrison Kreis. Starring along with Mia Goth, we have quite the A24 list of actors. We have Elizabeth Debicki, Moses Sumney, who I do have to say has quite the incredible singing voice. I did catch the show Idol, which is on Max. It's funny, Maxine, and that's part of the Euphoria universe. Bobby Cannavale. We have Lily Collins, Phil Collins' daughter, and Kevin Bacon. I mean, how could you not have a horror film with Kevin Bacon? He started off the Friday the 13th franchise, appearing in the first film. So here we go. One of the first things that I want to tell you right off the bat, as I had fellow audience members in the chair next to me ask me if I've seen any of the other films, was The Order. Now, as we had said, these films do stand alone, but it's sort of interesting to me how the first film being X, this is a direct sequel to that. And then you have Pearl, which is a prequel to X. So it might be a little confusing. If you do get confused, of course, you could always go ahead and book an appointment with Dr. Google. And Google, with the facts, will tell you how some of these films and other films are the best order to watch them in. But I always go in the order in which they were theatrically released. So the last thing that happened in X is when Maxine leaves the house, there is a TV evangelist on a black and white TV. And he says a couple of things, and all about the wrath of God and about how people have evil in them and things like that. And it looks like he's trying to search for his daughter. So that's all I'm going to say about that. And at this time, this movie does quite the incredible job of painting the 1985 backdrop, similar to the way that Stranger Things does this. One of the other things that I really love is at that time, so many bands especially were being accused of Satanism, and that was a really big fact. It affected bands like Ozzy, and when Iron Maiden had the Number of the Beast record, Motley Crue, you had the PMRC, where they do show some of that. And I remember Ghost Joe and I watching a great movie that actually had Jason Priestley in it, and it was all about the PMRC, and Dee Snider was in that. Well, they do show a clip of Dee Snider arguing in the court about, you know, how it's not wrong with the lyrics and things of that nature. And it looks like people are against horror, and, you know, people, and it even happens today, you know, there are some closed-minded people out there that think that if you mix one and two together, that you're just going to get an evil person. And you know what? Horror and all of you guys out there, we all know that we're all a bunch of nice ladies and gents out there, you know? And back then, a lot of people, you know, especially without the internet, when it's painted all over the news like that, you know, really kind of gets into people's heads. And now that the events of X, it's been several years, Maxine is finally starting to want to make a name for herself in the film industry and get out of the other film industry, which was the porn industry. And being in her early 30s, she is auditioning and wants a role in the film The Puritan 2. And oh yeah, she definitely gets that role. But while this is happening, the Night Stalker is out there killing people. and people are definitely afraid. It looks like he's targeting young girls and especially people that were in the porn industry, which, going back to what I just said, if you think about sin and how they're putting labels on people, it all starts to come together. And the movie is really moving forward. And then elements of what had happened prior, the haunting fingerprint that Pearl had left on Maxine and crushing her freaking skull with the car at the end of X, really sticks with her. And there's some terrifying, really some psychological trauma that she's going through, but she's also very strong, very confident. And oh man, there's a scene in an alleyway where somebody tries to come at her with a knife. You don't really find out what his intentions are, but you sure as hell find out how Maxine takes care of herself. And that swagger that she has, that kind of Texas swagger that she has, and nobody's going to mess with her, and that confidence, I will not accept the life that I do not deserve. This is something that has been a very profound, common statement, and wanting to make it very opposite with Pearl, which how she never has, and Maxine finally wants to try to do this. But all is murder and bloodshed in some very slasher style, might I add, is happening around her. So you have psychological horror. You have slasher horror. There's also a bit of a murder mystery to it. Kevin Bacon's character is a private investigator who helps out the other side. He helps out a bad guy, and you're going to find out exactly who in the hell that he is. But man, Kevin Bacon is such a fast-talking Texan with the way that he enunciates his words, and he's such a dirty, filthy, rotten scoundrel, a real rascal. And he's starting to implant thoughts in Maxine's head about things that happened prior back in 1979 from the previous movie. And the porn film that they were making in that movie, there is evidence on a tape, unless if she does something to meet the person that is paying him off, the benefactor. And as you go through the movie, this is the person in a black hat, a dark outfit and gloves that's going around killing people, branding people with the satanic symbol. Now, this pentagram that he's putting on people, it could be on the face, could be on the body. He wants to make a name for himself. And all while this is leading up to a climax, this other horror film movie in The Puritan 2 is being created. And you get to see a lot of the Universal back lot. That's one of the things I thought that was really cool. There's a whole chase scene through the Psycho house, actually. I thought that was done so well. And there's a lot of back and forth notes to that time of film. It just really is kind of a love letter to horror with a very different type of movie. You have all different elements that are going on, but you get to see quite a bit of the Psycho house and the Bates Motel, and you get to see the way that prosthetic special effects are kind of being made. I found a lot of that very, very interesting, but also the horror of what happens to you when a plaster mold is going over your face and you can't see anything and you start to suffocate. And then that's when thoughts of what Pearl had done are going through her head, and she also sees her through the Psycho house. They kind of want you to think about the other movie. But while this is going on and the murders are taking place, the police are trying to corner two detectives that are in the homicide unit, want Maxine's help. And the only hint that she gives is that she has survived this before, but she does not want to talk to any police. She still has a lot of the same issues that she had. She still has a lot of the trauma. She's still doing coke by the mirror. She carries herself with confidence, but is also very fragile at the same time. It's just a lot for her to deal with. And upon doing some research, there really was a Night Stalker that did murder in the California area from 1984 to 1985. Are they the same person? Is that who's been going around branding people with a pentagram? Who is the person that's all dressed in black with the hat and the gloves? How is the past going to catch up with Maxine? What's going to happen next? There's all kinds of bright neon colors. There's a fantastic soundtrack. There's even a Judas Priest song that was played in the film that I'm not going to tell you, but has never really been used. It's one of the more deep cuts. You're definitely going to be intrigued. It's just that kind of movie that really keeps you guessing what's going to happen next. And some of the killing scenes are really done very, very well. The fate that Kevin Bacon has, oh man, all that I'm going to say is, you ever see what happens when you put a car in demolition and you get all the way down? Maybe there's something inside. I don't want to really give away too much, but man, done really, really well. I rate this particular movie a 4 out of 5 graves, and it's very rare that I really want to go as high as 5. I felt that the ending, it was very satisfying, and it definitely, you know, leaves you with like wanting more, but I just wanted just a little bit more. They kind of play with you a little bit with the scene that's going on in her head and with what she does at the very end of the movie. But the aftermath of that is shown, and you just, you know, kind of wonder what transpired in the month that the aftermath had taken place and the scene before it, you know. But then when the credits roll up, you just start thinking about all different aspects of the story. So I did leave out some key questions here. When you see it, I think it'll be a much more enjoyable experience, not having those questions ruined with the answers that will give absolutely everything away. But done very, very well. Out of X and Pearl and Maxine, I really don't really know which one is the absolute best. I mean, Pearl to me just really sticks with me quite a bit, as it had such different acting to it. But make no mistake, Mia Goth's performance, and I truly believe she is going to go on to make some incredible films. There's a monologue scene that happens early on in one of the first scenes of the movie where she's just Maxine. And when she auditions for a character, she just goes right into it with even a fake teardrop coming out of her eye. It is just right on the money, done very, very well. So I want to wish everybody a happy next week of summer. We're going to get sizzling here with some more reviews, with some more content. It's a very exciting time. So put on some sunscreen out there so that you don't crisp up those bones. And have a good one out there, Ghost Joe. I'll see you next time. Gonna go cool off in the crypt. See ya.
This is Haunted eBay. Happy bidding, kiddies. Ha!
So the first item that is titled "A 112-year-old haunted statue moves some every day." And it's coming from San Diego, California, which, as we all know, Ron Burgundy had told us that in Spanish, it means a whale's vagina. But anyway, the starting bid, the starting bid is,
of course,
the starting bid is only $1 for this thing. But if you can't wait and you want to buy it right now, you could buy it for $5,000. So I mean, why would you want to try and bid on it for a dollar? I mean, just buy it for $5,000, right? I mean, isn't that what anybody else would do? So here's the description. Yeah. This is a real haunted statue my mother received as a housewarming gift in 1912, which is the same year that the Titanic sunk, by the way. I know this because when my mom passed, I found a postcard where she asked the person who gave it to her if they would please take it back. There is exact copies of the two statues, so I guess this is an original or a 112-year-old knockoff. Not until my mom passed and I inherited the statues did I know that something was off. I know it's the lady statue. I noticed that the lady statue, it's terrible, terrible English here. I noticed that the lady statue would move a few inches over the course of a week. Then I started noticing her arms moving and her hand was twisting. And yes, what? Wait, I'm sorry. I didn't proofread this and I apologize to everybody. Basically, like her arms were moving and her hands were twisting and her eyes were leaking. Okay. And her mouth was opening some evenings. She doesn't move around the clock, but she moves in some form every single day. Sometimes it's kind of subtle, but you can see it if you're interested. I can send you a video that will take your breath away. Or the hands are moving, the eyes are blinking, and you can see bronze tears coming down. I really want to email this person and try and pretend like we're interested to see if they could send us the video.
Yeah, not for nothing. This sounds exactly like a religion story, a Virgin Mary statue that used to tear or like the eyes moved or something like that. Every part of the church that you stood by, looked at you.
So it says here, it's amazing. This is not a joke. This statue moves enough where it could be studied scientifically. We can find out what the phenomena is, or as we decided to do, keep it a secret. This we undoubtedly make.
I think you said it right the first time.
Make the person, if they go public. I don't understand. It's like terrible English, but they use the word undoubtedly. Make the person, if they go public, very popular and famous. But that's not us at all. I can see. Okay. So anyway, yeah, it's a statue that moves a lot and they're trying to sell $5,000.
Unless you put a bid on it for $1.
Right. I mean, why wouldn't you just buy it right away? I'm not going to wait 10 days to see if somebody buys it for $1. You know?
Seriously.
So,
I completely agree. One, yes, I definitely agree with you. I would say try getting a hold of this person and see if they send the video, because I would love to see what it looks like. And if you actually could see it move, that would be very interesting. Like I said, this reminds me an awful lot of a couple of stories of in the religious world and the Catholic world about the Virgin Mary statue that was either bleeding and a cross with Jesus and its eyes moved every once in a while. I know there are stories of certain things opening and closing its eyes, and it's usually a statue.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, no, definitely. So here's actually an even more scarier one for you, Ned. Haunted mid-2012 MacBook Pro. There is no location for it. Oh. But it is going for $5,000 also to get a 2012 MacBook Pro.
Wow. I have that in my back pocket.
Here's the description. Haunted mid-2012 MacBook Pro. It does work. You may need to hit Command plus R or startup to install macros and interact with it. The power cord is old and has a lot of wear and tear. Electrical tape on part of it. The spirit attached to this laptop. I haven't gotten a really funny one in a while, so this is pretty good. The spirit attached to this laptop is extremely powerful. Buy at your own risk. You are liable to have your entire house haunted if you buy this. If you leave offerings to this spirit, such as a white candle and a few minutes a day of conversation, he will protect the house for the family and help with any electronic troubles. You haven't even heard the best. Oh my God. Hold on. His name is Steve. He is a lost soul that wandered out of the cemetery into someone's computer. If you don't treat him right, he will haunt you and your whole family until you move and get rid of the laptop. This is what the fallen angel inside this computer wants you to believe. It is really the demon Azazel. Woe to you who buys this.
Really?
Azazel was the main character in a 1998 Denzel Washington movie called Fallen, by the way. It's some fallen angel type thing. So yeah, apparently this guy, this fallen demon is haunting this guy's MacBook Pro and pretending to be a spirit named Steve. So for $5,000, I mean, it's a terrible computer. It has duct tape on it and stuff, but I mean, it's haunted. So, I mean, why not?
Hold on. So yeah, let me get this right. Correct me if I'm incorrect. Does that make sense? All right. Sure. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did that description say that the angel was pretending to be Steve, but yet the guy found out he was Azazel? So he convinced the demon to let him know what his actual real name is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
shouldn't that be the answer to all the problems? I'm pretty sure that's the power of the exorcism.
Right, like if you know the name, right?
When you get them to,
you
could defeat them. I mean, that's how it's usually, you know, that's their thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is
a good one. I think I want that.
Yeah, laptop. I mean, why not, right?
That matchbox, whatever. Oh, yeah.
next item is...
How much does this one cost?
A cool $5,000. So, I mean, if you buy that and the statue, I mean, it's only $10,000. You got a pretty haunted collection right there, you know. And you could actually get this right here, Nat, which is this is right up our alley, by the way. This one, I've never seen this before, and I was like, oh man, this item was like, all right, this had to have been put up there for me and Nat. Next item is haunted guitar picks.
Oh my God.
They are out of Dyer, Tennessee, and he's selling 3 picks for $20. So it's a deal. the haunted guitar picks, all right. They are charged with the spirit Santa Muerta. Muerte? The Mexican folk saint of death. Is the least lethal black is the worst. Oh, okay. There's 3 different colors, right? It says the white is the least lethal.
Okay.
Black is the worst and red is in between. I will send one of each color for the price listed. So I guess he's only selling 3 for $20. And that's the only description for that. So if you want some very overpriced haunted guitar picks, I don't know if it's going to make you... Yeah.
So hold on a second, Joe. You'll know this answer. How much does a pick go for these days anyway?
I think there's still 25 cents.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, it sounds just about right.
And maybe it's like the pick of destiny from the Jack Black movie.
Oh, well, this one is haunted. So what does the picks actually do?
It didn't say. I mean, it was very mysterious. That's all it said about the picks.
I was going to say, maybe it made you play like a rock star.
Maybe.
Then again, rock stars suck these days. So what are you going to do?
All right, let's see.
No offense.
All right, so next up, I have a bunch today. So, all right. Next up is Haunted Music Box, extremely active, brother and sister spirit. It's coming from Mount Pleasant, Michigan, and it's going for $175. So this one might be actually kind of close to... Okay. If you feel drawn to this... Hold on. Music box.
What happened?
Okay, yeah. I don't know why it says it like this, but all right. So the haunted music box, it says, I was so drawn to the music box at the antique store. I could tell there was a strong attachment to it right away. It winds up and plays beautiful music, and the two bears paired together move while it plays. it took a while for the spirits to open up. The boy spirit, Ted, who is 7, is the one who usually answers. His sister, named Eve, is quieter, but I believe it's because he is trying to protect her. Sadly, Ted and Eve were in an orphanage. Ted told me that they were abandoned, and to make matters worse, there was so much abuse that happened to them at the orphanage. They were severely neglected. They weren't too specific on how that made them pass, but it was neglect. They were left alone and made to fend for themselves. They never had anyone else to rely on, which grows their bond, but left them distrusting of anyone else. They need to know I was safe. They needed to know that I was safe for them to tell me everything. They are extremely active. They use all of the tools to full potential, sometimes draining the batteries in one session. Then they choose to talk. It's incredibly clear. They also play their music box on their own. They will tell you more about themselves the more they're comfortable. They said they like pizza.
Good choice.
Yeah. Okay.
That whole thing was actually pretty
the
cool.
Pizza? I don't know why they added that in there.
Seriously, I mean, I get the idea. He's trying to make it seem like they've become so friendly and close to him that they could discuss stuff like that. What I want to know is if they could give you information like that, can't he just find out what orphanage they were from and look them up to see if they actually were there?
Listen, I mean, yeah, it almost sounded kind of believable. And it's not like a crazy, it's not $5,000. You know what I mean? It's a music box and it's going for $175. So, I mean, antique music boxes could probably go fat, you know? So that's probably not terrible.
And I have heard plenty of stories about, you know, stuff like that that get possessed. You go to like an old antique shop and it was owned by somebody and someone dies and it's possessed now. I mean, this isn't the first time that we've heard the story. Wasn't The Conjuring 1 something involved?
I think it was the second
box?
One. The second one had the... Oh, no. It was the first one. Yes, it was the first one with the music box. One. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the second one was the Enfield Ghost.
Well, the second one was the one with the crooked guy.
The Enfield Ghost.
Wasn't it? The crooked man.
Yeah. But that wasn't a talk. That wasn't the
box. No. But yeah, no, the first one was, yeah, the first one was that, the music box. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah.
With the little girl. Sadie.
I love the Conjuring movies. They're very, very good. And there's a new one coming out too.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I loved every single one. I loved all of them. The Annabelle.
Mm-hmm. No.
Did you hear that?
What?
Okay, good. I mean, the Conjuring movies, the Annabelle movies, all of them. There's one more that I haven't seen. It's a Spanish named one or something. I don't remember. It had something to do with the Conjuring universe also.
Oh, La Llorona. Yeah,
that's it. It had to do with one of the priests that was involved in the Conjuring.
Yeah, I heard that one. I like them a lot. I even like the Devil Made Me Do It one, where a lot of it's the courtroom stuff. I thought that one was pretty good too, because the whole thing with that one too, and a lot of people like, it was boring, but you got to understand the premise that it was a true story, you know? And the thing is, they didn't want, like, they ended up convicting the guy, even though they really didn't want to. But they had to, because then everybody would be using that defense, you know?
Exactly.
But they really didn't want to convict him, if I remember the movie correctly. I actually ended up meeting that guy at a Paracon, and he signed a... Yes,
the guy got convicted?
He signed my book.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he signed my book.
Did he say
anything? No, it was like a quick meeting, because...
Did you ask him?
I know I've seen that movie, but I couldn't really remember too much of it, so I didn't want to seem like an idiot that was, like, you know, not informed and not prepared, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Like, right now, I can't remember too much about the movie, because it's not that I didn't like it. It's they don't play it that much on TV. So I didn't get to see them. I mean, like, the Conjuring's repeated like a million times, and so is part two.
Yeah. So, we digressed again.
Yes.
So
the talk, the music box does sound like it could be.
Yeah. Well, the last thing that I have is actually a super, super quick, description. And this one, and I thought this one was kind of funny too. That's why I put this one in there. So this one actually comes from the same dude of the guitar picks. And this one, is Haunted Shoes from Dyer, Tennessee. And they're going for $40.50. The description is snakeskin size 11. Do you want size 11s?
12.
Okay.
Almost.
They have the spirit of Judas attached to them via a Freemasonry demon. Whoever wears these shoes, Satan guides his every step straight to hell. You would be better to have never been born than to buy these shoes. But he's still selling them on eBay. So basically he's saying, buy these shoes, but no, don't buy these shoes.
He basically says, buy these shoes and go to hell. This is like a suicide note.
So
if you want to commit suicide, wear these shoes.
So Nat, as a as you know, the new member of the Warped Reality Podcast, you're gonna have to take one for the team. And I'll buy the shoes for you, but you have to wear them for like a month or two and see if it walks you straight to hell.
It takes that long to get to hell? Can I go
it's the same guy.
All right. As of right now, my favorite album was the toy, whatever the hell it was called.
The music box. No, my favorite was the MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
That's definitely my favorite. Good old Steve haunting the MacBook Pro. So, yeah. So that's Haunted eBay, Nat. And by the way, remember, everybody, the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast will not be responsible and is not responsible if you purchase any of these items and something paranormal does or does not happen, bid at your own risk. And if you happen to bid on any of this stuff, let us know. Email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com or call the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast hotline at 845-600-0744 and let us know your experience. And if you have any other paranormal experiences, please do that as well, because I'm trying to get some cool experiences on here as well. So, definitely do that. And we'll play it on the show. No judgment, no judgment at all. So, yeah.
No, but we will not be responsible if you feel like you wasted your money on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the whole thing. Like, listen, if it's haunted and like, you know, the shoes are walking you to hell, like don't ask for, you know, don't say like it's because of the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. Or, you know, like if you wanted to walk to hell and you got the shoes and it just they didn't take you there, don't, you know, it's not my fault either. So, yeah.
Now, remember, everybody, in future episodes, I will be involved a lot more. This is my first episode. I'm just getting my little feet wet.
That's it. And if you liked it, you know, let me know. And if you hated it and you're like, no, get that bastard out of here, you know, I'm not going to listen to you because this is my buddy and, you know, he's going to do it anyway. So
invite your friends to listen. Invite your friends' friends to listen. The more listeners, the merrier.
And check out all of the stuff. Like I have a TikTok and Instagram and Facebook group and all that good stuff. So please check that out. I do have a YouTube channel too that, you know, but it's not very, up there because I'm a little camera shy.
He shouldn't be. He's one sexy bitch. No need to be camera shy, buddy.
So yeah. And also, we're going to have a lot more coming for you in the near future too. Hopefully some interviews. We gotta talk to some people about getting some interviews going and some other cool stuff. So yeah, so have a great night, everybody. And yeah. Later.
Don't forget to wear your shorts.
We don't say that anymore.
Don't?
No, I haven't.
Why not?
I haven't said that in a while.
I'm pretty sure I said it wrong anyway.
My kids make, yeah, who wets their I was almost going to get sued right now because you know what I almost said?
No.
I almost said.
Maybe you shouldn't say it.
I'm going to say it anyway. All right. I almost said the thing from South Park. I almost said, don't forget to bring a towel. But then I'm like, wait, that's not mine. That's South Park.
Oh, boy.
So now we've gone completely off the rails. And
we had too much fun doing this.
Absolutely. So have a great night, everybody, and I'll talk to you soon. Later.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or WarpRealityPodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.